All right, Game of Mash for the September 29th, the Chico Vibe. And we have three cast members from Spamalot with the Chico Theater Company that starts tonight, Friday night, the 29th. We have Chris Harrington, Lady of the Lake, Nick Fawcett, Sir Bedivere, and Matt Taylor, King Arthur. Welcome to KZFR, guys.
Hey, thank you so much.
I love being in this small room with you guys.
It's very cozy.
This is how we lead every single show is, what does the Chico Vibe mean to you? And I'll start with Lady of the Lake.
The Chico Vibe to me is all about family. You know, Chico is a small town. Of course, where I came from, Chico's a big town. So it's great. I think everywhere I go, I get more family members. I get more people to love on and more people to give me love. And that's just all cool. I like it.
Sir Bedivere.
For me, I'm from Chico, pretty much born and raised between Chico and Paradise. So for me, it's definitely my hometown and all that comes with hometown. I enjoy the laid-back feel of Chico. People have called it Little Portland, I guess.
Yes, yes.
A really little Portland.
The king agrees.
I do.
So it's a good place to, take in a nice show and maybe go to the Thursday night markets.
Right. Or go to the park.
What do you think, King Arthur?
I am an implant at Chico. I've lived here for 6 years, and it's a weird town, which is what I think makes it great. Sort of like Portland. Keep Chico weird. It's sort of the perfect blend of small town and urban. You get all the amenities of a big town, nice restaurants, fun things to do at night.
Fantastic theater.
Absolutely great, fantastic great theater. With talented actors.
Can't stress that enough.
No, but you've got the small town family dynamic, which is great.
Great local radio.
Sure, absolutely.
Oh, 100%.
Awesome. Who knows best about the play? Give us a little outro for, the logistics.
Well, if you've seen Monty Python and The Search for the Holy Grail, it's exactly that, plus some songs, plus the Lady of the Lake, of course.
She's
a major prominent character in the show.
And a good addition, really, to the show.
Yes. The original Monty Python, the females were a little more... to the side.
Masculine.
Very masculine show. Even the men played most of the women, but the Lady of the Lake, she's a profound, very important character in the show.
I can't say that we've really strayed away from that too much as far as the men playing the women
in
a lot of these roles.
There is some cross-dressing in it, for sure.
There might be.
You'll have to wait and see.
Lady of the Lake, tell us when it starts, when it ends, and get us all excited, because I'm excited.
Absolutely. So we open up tonight, Friday, September 29th. We are out at Chico Theater Company on Eaton Road. Our show opens, it actually starts at 7:30. Our doors open right around 6:30. We've got a full bar out there. We've got signature cocktails for each drink. So come out there, grab your tickets, get a drink, prepare to have fun. We run through October 22nd. Our shows are Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30. And we have Sunday matinees at 2 o'clock.
Alrighty, any spam?
You have to bring your own spam. Yeah,
bring your own spam, guys. Yeah, that's weird. That's just like Chico. Bring your own spam. Someone should bring spam if they're listening. It's Friday, September 29th, 6:15 or so on KZFR 90.1 FM, so it must be time for Jason Cassidy, Art Devo.
Hello, Art Devo. It's glad to be here.
Yeah, we're always happy to have you in the studio. You've got a kick butt shirt, the Morden Lovers on.
Modern.
Morden. I'm from New England, man. That's how I say it.
So are the Modern Lovers.
What we got, man? What we got this week?
Let's see. Well, you guys just talked to the Chico Theater Company folks doing Spamalot.
Yeah, King Arthur, Lady of the Lake, and Sir Bedivere.
Nice, yeah. Monty Python in Chico, that's always good. Yeah. I think it's played here before, back at the university back in the day. It'd be interesting to see how Chico Theater Company takes it on.
Yeah, how they do it, yeah.
So what else is going on? I think the pick of the week for Arts Devo is also happens to be the pick of the week in Art Calendar is Shigemi Minataka. And a trio of jazz players are doing Afro-Cuban jazz for the final Ebony and Ivory concert over at the Chico Women's Club tonight.
Nice.
And I was fortunate enough to be able to play as part of the Small Town Big Sound concert at Sierra Nevada last week or a week and a half ago or whatever. And Shigemi was part of that. And her piece that they did for that was like, it was smoking.
It was.
And it was like a workout for the band.
Yeah. And Ebony and Ivory, for folks that don't know, that's to help fund the restoration of their grand piano that's on stage there.
Yeah. The early 1900s grand piano, and Shigemi will be playing on that.
Mm-hmm. Later in the show, I've got Mike Russell, who I think is one of the best acoustic guitar players in Chico.
Is he going to perform?
Yeah. I'm giving him 15 minutes, man. We're going to do a performance. But Mike Russell, man, he's having an album release show Saturday, tomorrow, 7:30 to 11 p.m. at the Argus Bar, 212 West 2nd Street in Chico. And with openers Klez and Aaron Haley, man, I'll be going to check out. What else we got going on, Art Steve Hill?
Another big thing that the Chico News and Review is working on right now, and I'm the person steering it, is Chico Beer Week is coming up.
Beer Week.
Starting next Thursday. It's 10 days long. Right now there's about 50 events on the calendar. If you go to chicobeerweek.net, the calendar is all filled out with cool beer-themed events that all the different beer bars and breweries and restaurants and stuff are doing around town.
I like Beer Week. Yes. I like the Beer Week. The edition of the Chico News.
Oh, yeah, we do our annual beer issue. Yeah, we have some fun stories coming up in it this week, or next week, I should say. The News Review actually puts on our own event during Beer Week. We kick it off with this thing called Brew Fork, which is in conjunction with Fork in the Road, the food truck rally out there at a Manzanita place. And then we rally some breweries, and we have about a dozen breweries who will be out there pouring samples. You can buy tickets for samples, and it all goes to benefit the Chico News and Review Foundation, which is a foundation that's committed to investigative journalism.
Great cause.
And so all the money that's made goes to that.
Speaking of investigative journalism, I always find it interesting since I'm so connected with the journalism and the, you know.
The journos.
But it's so funny when they do editions like the Chico Beer Week. Inevitably, I'll have people go, oh, the whole issue about beer, you know, how dare they? We have such an alcohol problem. So I just find it fun. In fact, that's one of the things I like about the Chico News and Review. They mix it up, man.
Sure, yeah. We try. It's life is about a lot of things.
It is.
And so we try and touch on all bases. The beer issues in town, we're sensitive to that. We write about those things as well. And
you do.
And we often editorialize in the beer issue about such things. And
yeah. Not to dwell too much on the beer, but I like the European model because when I was in Scotland, and the Old Blind Dogs were here last night from Scotland, but Sunday was family night, Jason, and they brought all their family. At no age, there was no limit at all. They're all sitting around the bar, and I really do believe, you know, stigmatizing alcohol and making it seem like this evil thing.
Yeah.
It creates its own little segment of problem.
Absolutely, yeah, you know? I agree. I mean, if it doesn't seem like it's something that's so special and amazing, then people won't go bananas when they turn 21.
Yeah, exactly. What else we got? I know you got a lot. You know, we can't possibly go through the whole booming CNR calendar.
Well, if I could say one more thing about Brew Fork.
Yeah.
There's live music as well. XDS is playing.
XDS?
And it's a free show. Hello. You just come up there and watch XDS. And then DJ Spinny, who is a DJ here on this fine radio station, is going to be spinning some discs as well.
He rules, man.
Yeah.
You got XDS and DJ Spinny?
Yeah, we got it all.
That's hot, man. When is that again?
That's next Thursday, October 5th, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Go to chicobeerweek.net. You can see all about it.
Where's that at?
Manzanita Place, which is the Elks Lodge. But when it's not the Elks Lodge putting something on, you got to call it Manzanita Place.
I'm there.
Right on.
I'm there.
Right on. And then there'll be 14 food trucks as well.
Yeah. And you'll be there.
I'll be there.
That's a draw.
Sweating
too.
Profusely. That's not so much a draw, but
not so much.
But I'm a sweater, so you got to deal with it.
All right, Jason. Yeah, it's always awesome having you in here.
Thanks, man.
Do we have one more thing from the calendar?
Let's see. What else can we do? Maybe let's look.
Because we're going to leave the listeners hanging if we don't.
Let's
say
look
something.
At the calendar.
Let's look at the calendar.
Let's see here. Well, I mentioned the Ebony and Ivory thing. That looks amazing.
It does.
Well, Old Blood Dogs already played.
Yeah, they did. It was an amazing show. Thank you.
Shout out you guys have your great show on Sunday night. Melvin Seals and Jerry Garcia Band?
We do.
Out at Chico Women's Club, Sunday, October 1st. They're going to play two sets.
I think we have Touch of Chico coming up this weekend as well. Gosh. My gosh, I can't forget Touch of Chico. They'll fire me from this high-paying, low-paying job.
You have your hands literally on everything.
We do. So don't miss the Touch of Chico. That's out at the Chico Nature Center this coming Sunday.
Yeah, it's Sunday.
It's an amazing event.
Oh, you guys are doing all that on Sunday? That's crazy.
It is. You know, I just kind of noticed that. Shout out Leah McKeon, who does all the volunteer stuff. You know? When I see her happy, I feel happy because that means things are rolling. Are going well. Yeah, we got a lot going on, man.
Yeah, right.
Jason Cassidy planted a seed with that Modern Lovers t-shirt. Yeah. Taking you into the meat of the show with Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers. I am a little airplane.
I'm a little airplane. Yeah. It waggity wag. Waggity wag. I I'm a little airplane, y'all. I'm a little airplane, y'all. I'm a little airplane, y'all, y'all. And I'm a little airplane, y'all. I'm a little airplane, y'all, y'all. And wakey, wake, wakey, wake. I'm a little airplane, y'all. Well, I fly in the dark, on the baseball park. Well, I fly late at night, I got my little red light.
Guillermo Mash, welcoming you to the 29th of September, the Chico Vibe. Got a great lineup running us out for the rest of the show. Next up, I've put a little segment together about the Tyler Rushing officer-involved shooting July 23rd. They had a final report that was released by the DA, and they had a press conference yesterday around that. So that'll be the next little segment we air. And then I'm really pleased. I have Bianca Quillantin, the new Chico Enterprise record weekend reporter, along with Dave Waddell, news director from Chico Soul. We're going to talk about journalism and some of the awards that ChicoSoul.org won on behalf of the writing that Bianca had done. Really excited about that. Also excited to have Michael Russell in the house. In the house. He's doing an album release tomorrow. Wonderful, wonderful musician and acoustic guitar player. Can't wait for that. And we're going to follow up an ending interview with the Spamalot crew, Chico Coffee Company, and the plans for the location downtown where Pete's Coffee is currently located. They have vacated their lease. They'll be leaving on the first of the year. So tune in and listen up for all of that here on People Power Radio. Just for context, before I jump into this Tyler Rushing, Butte County District Attorney final report on the criminal investigation of the people involved in the officer-involved shootings. Tyler Rushing was a young man who, although he was within the homeless community in Chico, he was not a homeless individual. He lived in Ventura County, and he was involved with a break-in, subsequently silent alarm, with some on-site alarm that had actually gone off as well. The private armed security guard was attacked when he responded to the call. And then ultimately and tragically, he had barricaded or locked himself into the bathroom at Mid Valley Title Company. And ultimately, the police officers had to go in there to try to get him out and to rescue his life. And he was shot and killed. And you'll hear some of the details around that. And yeah, Guillermo Mash here for the September 29th edition of the Chico Vibe with some intros, a little bit of insights and opinions around the final report regarding the Tyler Rushing officer-involved shooting that occurred on July 23rd. I find it important to start with what this report is actioned for, and I'm getting this off of page 1 and 2, bottom of 1, top of 2 of the actual report, from the Butte County
district attorney's office. As you know, the objective of the team's investigation is not an administrative investigation to determine whether there was a violation of departmental policy, nor is it a critique of any involved officer's tactics. Its purpose is to determine whether there was any criminal liability on the part of any involved officer, and additionally, in this case, the armed private security guard. The investigation, as was done here, was accomplished by uninvolved professional investigators from separate agencies to supply a complete, unbiased, and uncompromised investigation to be reviewed by my office. That review has been completed. As noted, the investigation was extensive and included the collection of all operating body cameras and frame-by-frame analysis of those videos, including the security guard's body camera videos. My opinion, after sitting through the very trying, it was a very, very trying press conference, very vivid, very, very shocking video details and a step-by-step walkthrough, and obviously a well thought out and presented, laying out of the evidence, including all the weapons that were found, I agree with the findings that the officers acting within their job scopes and descriptions did not act criminally, and they believe their life was in danger. I saw nothing in the videos that led me to believe otherwise, and any other corroborating evidence as well. Past the whole quote-unquote criminal activity, i.e. a chargeable offense under criminal law, I do not believe that armed security guards should be part of patrolling our downtown area. Absent that fact, the gentleman that was in there had a gun, feared for his life, and he used that weapon. I also have to say in the report, on page 2, it was of note that the on-duty guard was a security company, was called and requested to respond to the alarm. He's a 23-year-old guard, was a sergeant in the security company, and had been employed with the company for a year and 4 months. And he's a CSUC graduate with a degree in criminal justice and is certified and licensed to the State of California Bureau of Security Investigative Services as an armed security guard. As you'll hear in some of the Q&A, I decided to land on the questions and answers portion of the press release due to time constraints and other editing reasons. But as you'll find out, just as it's stated in the report, there's a follow-on, Chico PD, quote-unquote, they'll be looking at the tactics of the officers themselves to see if there's anything that could be done differently. And I'll have to make a comment here, and I asked this question in the Q&A, you'll hear it, and one of the other journalists followed up a couple of questions later, you'll hear that. I am adamant in my belief that they could and should have done better in regards to trying to talk Mr. Rushing out of the bathroom. And I believe you'll hear another clip, and I believe you will hear another clip from the chief of police that caused me some concern. And I'll tell you what the concern is. The chief had, in my eyes, somewhat tainted the upcoming investigation of Chico Police Department tactics by making statements at a public forum that he don't believe that anyone could have talked that person out of the bathroom, and he agreed with the tactics that were being used. And I found that unacceptable as a quote-unquote citizen. I don't think Mr. O'Brien, Chief O'Brien, was doing anything with malice intended, but it would just appear to me, and I will try to follow up with the chief, see if I can get an interview with him. I had on this radio show before, but it would seem to me that would taint the Chico PD investigation of all of this if the chief is out there at the final report pretty much saying everyone did what they could, and it was you'll hear what he had to say. A couple other things of note, page 5 in the report, he did basically say he had a gun, even though none was found. There's also some references in the report to him not leaving the building when the physical alarm had gone off. And I think towards the end of the report, towards the last page, I'm rifling through this, under the conclusion sections on page 15, I had circled evidence of his activities inside the Mid Valley Title Company prior to his being shot by the security sergeant pointed to an unhinged mind. I agree with that assessment. And there's also another point in here that I'll read. He had committed strange acts of vandalism, including breaking a coffee cup to cut a couch inside the employee break room and drawing a peace sign and heart in his own blood on the side of a filing cabinet. I found the conclusion of this paragraph probably of most importance for the community at large. The personality known as Tyler Tiger Rushing to families and friends was not in the Mid-Valley Title Company the night of the shooting. Instead, officers faced an unknown, angry, dangerous, and wounded subject who had broken into a business and viciously attacked a responding security sergeant whose uniform mimicked their own, who had been shot and was bizarrely finger painting in his own blood, who profanely told officers when they first entered the building that he had a gun, and who, despite his cries of pain from the bathroom, refused to come out for medical aid and flooded the bathroom. Yeah, in summary, before I play some of these Q&As, I feel from my professional background and just living 57 years, you can always learn something from an experience. And I really hope and pray that once they get into this Chico Police Department investigation that is part of this whole process, criminal, then police department investigation, they can look at this with an open mind and get some unbiased input on this. A lot of people talk about, you know, the criminal investigation being biased. At this point, I'm much more concerned with the bias of the Chico PD internal review of what had occurred. And I'd like to see that, you know, how that happens and how it all plays out in a public forum. And I'll do the best that I can to, you know, constantly try to improve what we're doing. In the words of Dr. W. Edwards Demings, who is well noted in the statistician's QA field of continuous process improvement, AKA, you can always learn from something. You can always improve. He has a quote that I really feel is important to read on air. It is not enough to do your best. You must know what to do and then do your best. And I really hope that's what's going to be the benefit to the community from, you know, this tragic, tragic shooting and killing of a young man.
It sounds like Sergeant Ruppel is the one who's doing most of the talking.
He is.
What's his level of CIT training?
I'll address that. Sergeant Ruppel was the senior most sergeant of the police department. He had just gone through training in 2015 that we put through the entire department. They're going again back in this month and then also in October. So he's been through that 8-hour course and was scheduled for this current course as well.
Okay, so that just the 8-hour in-house course. Was there ever any attempt to like find maybe an officer with more training or a hostage negotiator or a mental health professional in the, this was what, 40,
this is why we played that entire team for you.
I understand.
Yeah, there could be no other magic words that are to be said. The Sergeant Ruffles' reputation was as the senior sergeant. He had negotiated people out from such situations many, many times successfully.
Did they ever ask his name?
Say what?
Did they ever ask the...
As you heard, he was not responding in any tangible way as far as the real communication. You heard him groaning, yelling, that type of thing. So, no.
And I didn't hear the question. So, what was he doing?
He asked if he asked his name.
His name. Oh, okay. Yeah. Didn't know his name.
But never asked him either. That was...
Did not appear to be necessary at this point.
But remember, you had 37 minutes of Sergeant Ruffel trying to encourage Mr. Rushing to come out. You heard the words all on the tapes. I think he did everything extraordinarily. Unfortunately, not every situation will avail itself to a peaceful ending. And that's tragic.
Well, I just have a question regarding that 30 minutes. It seems like from a de-escalation standpoint, he just kept asking him the same thing. Why don't you come out? Why don't you come out? Wasn't there an opportunity with the training to kind of ask what his name was, how he's feeling, where were you shot, that kind of stuff? Or is all I heard was, come on out, man. Come on out, man. And to me, if it didn't work in the first 5 minutes, why didn't we change the line of questioning throughout the 30 minutes?
You did hear him say, come out, we have medics, we have an ambulance, we know you're hurt. There's nothing that can't be undone at this point. There is a variety of what is basic CIT and crisis intervention and de-escalation techniques that was used.
It wasn't on track at all. The track
series attempted.
Can
we go back? And I know you and Chico Brown both just touched on this, but in your opinion, and for me looking at this, it seems that Sergeant Ruffel did say much of the same thing to try to coerce Mr. Rushing, come outside. You know, come outside. We have help, come outside. I would have to agree that isn't maybe the most that could have been said. Is there a crisis management team that could have been brought in those 30 minutes that, you know, Sergeant Ruffel did try to get him out, but it was ineffective?
There is no crisis management team that exists in the county right now. We rely upon, obviously, those officers that are on scene. to do their very best, and they are trained in this particular area. And I thought, actually, Sergeant Rumble used a variety of different terms in an attempt to get Mr. Russian to come out. I think he used all the terminology that I'm familiar with as far as CIT. As we are listening to this and the responses from Mr. Russian, I don't think there's anything that could have been said that would have evoked a different response. That is my opinion.
Additionally, but you need to realize that the police would not have brought a civilian into what was a rather dangerous situation. If you recall that we already had this person in his stand, someone attacked that person outside. The person loses the blood throughout. They were trying to get this person in, and obviously been also to get out. But a person that when they first went in addition to knowing what was the stabbing of the person that had said, "Fuck you, I've got a gun."
So also remember, there was no ability to make a phone call in, which we often do if they're in a household or they have a cell phone that we know they possess. We can make a phone call in, and sometimes those can be done in a safe fashion through a phone. There's no phone in that bathroom. We didn't know who this individual was, and no cell phone.
Yeah, I thought it was important to end that little segment of what was played at the press conference. And this is an Instagram post that Tyler Rushing had made in June of this year. So anyway, my heart goes out to the community and all the people affected by this tragedy. I think even including the people that fired the shots. It obviously was a very chaotic scene, and I'm certain everyone that was involved in that would have been much rather doing something else. Live in the studio, man. It's my real distinct pleasure to have Mike Russell, man, on the acoustic guitar. Welcome to KZFR, Mike Russell.
Thanks, Guillermo.
Let's jump right in, man. Tell us a little bit about Mike Russell, the musician, and your EP release tomorrow at Argus, man.
Well, yeah, I'm releasing my first record under my name, Michael Russell, and that's going to be tomorrow night at Argus, downtown here in Chico. I've got 12 new songs featuring a lot of great Chico musicians, Jeremy Crosley, Aaron Haley, Garrett Smart. We got kind of an eclectic group of songs. A lot of it's blues and a little Americana in there too, mm-hmm. Roots rock.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're gonna be showing your licks both electric and acoustic, right?
That's right.
Nice.
Yeah.
We were talking before we hit the mics. Steven Stills is coming, and I'm saying, you know, I've always been telling folks that Mike's one of the best acoustics I've seen in town. But Steven Stills, man, I think he is the best acoustic player I've ever seen.
I'd love to make that show.
Yeah, yeah, and I think just a little bit about the EP release. What's going to go down at Argus? You've got a couple of bands opening up for you guys, right?
Yeah, we've got music starting at 7:30. Aaron Haley will be playing a solo acoustic set, and then we've got Klez, fantastic. Old classmate of mine here at Chico State's music program. He's got a stripped down acoustic trio. They'll be playing a retro kind of indie pop soul kind of sound.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic singer and songwriter. They'll play from about 8:30 to 9, and then my group will go on about 9:30 to 11 o'clock. We'll be playing.
So tell us a little bit about the album and how it was produced. Did you do all of the writing? Did you co-write, co-produce? How was it made?
All the writing was myself. I wrote all the songs.
Nice.
But I co-produced it with Ian Parent, an old bandmate and good friend of mine, fantastic engineer as well. We produced the album together. And I featured as many of my friends as I could, the musicians I love playing with. Matthew Songmaker, for one, you know, came in and
yeah.
I just turned the track on and said, you know, play your fiddle, and it was amazing. So in that sense, you know, they did write their parts, but all of the songs are written by myself, and
nice.
It was a great experience producing with Ian. We go way back in our musical endeavors here in Chico, and so it was great. He moved to Hollywood recently, got an engineering job, so it was a nice way to cap off that.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Before we hear a few songs from Mike Russ, I want to make sure people know it's probably the best $4 you'll spend all weekend. Tomorrow, Argus Bar and Patio, 7:30 p.m. to roughly 11 p.m., Mike Russell album release show with the openers you just mentioned. What do you got for us, Mike? You got a couple of songs you're going to play, man. What do we got?
Yeah, I got a couple songs from the album. This first one I'll do is titled Trust a Few, Love All. Trust a few, love all, but only trust a few. And I should not be trusting loving you. Shame on me, the first time you were fooled. Shame on me, the first time you were fooled. The second time around, babe, shame on you, shame on you. Be careful on the rocks that you lean on, that you're leaning on today. Cause even the tallest mountains, boy, they slip away. Trust a few, love all, but only trust a few. And I should not be trusting loving you. Shame on me, the first time you were fooled. Shame on me, the first time you were fooled. The second time around, babe, shame on you, shame on you. Be careful of the rocks that you lean on, that you're leaning on today. Cause even the tallest mountains, boy, they slip away.
You're not Mike Russell, man. Folks just joining, that was Mike Russell. Mike Russell is going to be Argus Bar and Patio tomorrow, 7:30, 11 p.m. Album release show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Give it up.
Yeah,
yeah, you look excited, man. You got the TV excitement on the radio.
Right.
What's your last song, man? What are we going out with?
We're going to do... do a song called When Blue Eyes Turn Gray.
Beautiful.
On Thanks again, Adam.
Radio.
back home on the river. Moon shining down, back home on the river. Mad child's loving is all I can give her. There's nothing to do and nothing to say. Please don't be alarmed when blue eyes turn gray. I sit here tired, my worn out shoes. I'm sick and tired, these 12 bar blues. There's no one to blame and nothing to lose. There's nothing to do and nothing to say. Please don't be alarmed when blue eyes turn gray. Blue eyes turn gray.
Give it up for Mike Russell, man. Thanks, live here in the studio. Get on down, Argus Bar, man. I'm going to try to strum up $4, man, so I can get on down there tomorrow, 7:30, 11, for his EP release party. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Guillermo.
Yeah, man. I'm going to have you be our stagehand and put that second mic right on up, because
right on,
as you walk out, we've got two beautiful people stepping on into these seats. Come on over there. Right. Dave Waddell. We have Dave Waddell, news director at Chico Soul, an online news magazine here in Chico that, gosh, I think they've been around for about 10 years. It's a really beautiful, beautiful, beautiful organization. You're on that one there, the third one. You're in the right spot. Yeah, you're in the right spot. And we also have, coming back on the radio, it's so nice to see you, Bianca.
It's nice to see you,
in the studio
too.
And out and about. I've seen you out and about doing your weekend reporting. But we have Bianca Quilantin, weekend news reporter at the Chico Enterprise Record.
Yes, I am.
Welcome both of you. Welcome both
Thank you.
Of you.
Thank you.
All right, Bianca, why don't you tell our listeners a bit about your journalism background?
So I started off as a student at Southwestern College, and Dave Waddell here actually recruited me here to come up to Chico. So I had 2 years of journalism there, and I mainly focused on covering immigration and border issues. And now that I'm here in Chico, I cover a lot of basically things that are happening in the community.
So I had the question of what brought you to Chico. It doesn't seem like a stretch to say the guy sitting to your right brought you to Chico. Dave Waddell, is this a true? Can I fact check this, Dave? Did you bring her to Chico?
I absolutely did. I'll take full credit for it. I always do for these students who come from Chula Vista, Southwestern College. I think it's been about 30 of them now. Bianca was one of the top ones, of course.
Yeah. Why don't you tell, I know we've talked about this before, maybe a minute on what that program looked like that you pretty much put together at Chico State some years back.
I recruited students to bring greater diversity to the journalism department at Chico State, and I've done it for 11 years. Steve Caldez, a professor there, is going to be taking over for me. But I went around the state. I had the most success at Southwestern College in Chula Vista, dating back to 2006, 2007. You know, editors of the Orion, people who have gone on to do great things, have gone through Southwestern and Chico State. So that's been a great relationship. It's 600 miles away from Chico, and so that it's a pretty amazing story, I think.
It is, because I think it's amazing part of the story is, you know, what kept you here, Bianca? I know people go to CSUC and leave all the time, but you stayed. Why? Why do you think you stayed?
I'm still at school.
Oh, you're still in school?
Yeah.
That's a great answer. You're still in school with a weekend reporting job at the Daily.
Yes.
Good for you. That must make going to school easier, huh? Now you're doing your profession.
That's cool as hell. Not, but it's a lot of work, and I really enjoy it though. So sometimes I have to balance, you know, remembering to go to class, even though I want to do reporting.
She's also the starving student columnist. She's been that for a while now, and she's done a really good job with that. Where she goes out with the minimum wage, which I think is like $10.50, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And she can't spend any more than that. So sometimes she just has to get water to drink your, you know. But it's fun to read.
So, Dave, you're still on the stay on the mic here for a second. And tell us a bit about Bianca's background as an intern at ChicoSoul.org when she wrote this article we're going to talk about.
Okay. Well, you know, like she said, she cut her teeth at Southwestern,
uh-huh.
And that's one of the top programs in the nation. And the story is called Door of Hope,
uh-huh.
And she could probably talk about it better than me, but it was a very emotional story. And these families on both sides of the fence are allowed to touch each other, talk to each other. They open up the door for 3 minutes, and so it's a real emotional thing. And not very many families, I guess, are able to do this, but Bianca did a very good job capturing that that story, and she won a merit award from the Ethic Media Awards competition from New America Media, so that was really good recognition for her as well as Chico Soul.
But that was an article she had penned for Chico Soul.
Yes.
So am I somewhat inaccurate to say she was doing an internship, or she just kind of...
Yeah, she did an internship a year ago, I think.
Nice.
It was. So, yeah. And just to keep plugging Chico Soul internships, but Gabriel Sandoval, another Southwestern student who came to Chico, he's our intern this fall.
I was impressed. We did an interview. You did the interview, actually, and I just aired it. And, he's an impressive young man.
Yeah, he's a really good reporter, really good digging deep with data.
Tell us about your story. Everyone's waiting now. They're like, wow, I want to hear from the writer of this award-winning story. Give us a little background on that.
Well, so it's called The Door of Hope because there's a lot of families that have been separated by the border, whether it be through deportation or, you know, just... a lot of different reasons. And so one of the sources that I kind of keep in my back pocket from San Diego called me up, and he's like, this is happening this weekend, you should do it. And so I was in town for 1 week only for Thanksgiving, and my mom was like, you're leaving already, you know?
That's what moms do.
Yeah. And so I went down to the border, and it's about a mile hike from the entrance of the park all the way to the actual border itself. And there were about 6 families that were chosen, you know, through applications to the Border Angels, which is a nonprofit organization for immigration, and also with the Border Patrol. And only 6 families were chosen, and one decided to not show up that day. So it led room for one other person to come in. And, you know, I was watching this, you know, her name is Laura. She was standing by the border fence, and she was just talking to her mother with her daughter to her side across the fence and through there. And I went up to her and I asked her, I was like, oh, are you going to get to see your mother? And she's like, no, you know, we're an alternate, so we're not planning on it. And it ended up being that she was able to see her family for the first time in over 20 years, you know.
That's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Just that's what I love about live radio. I'm having an idea. I'd love to have you come back on and read the story.
Yeah,
if you're
sure.
up for that, that'd be, because you have some background in radio. You love coming on radio.
I do.
Yeah, I'd love to hear you read this story on air. That'd be beautiful. Have some conversation around. I'll bring in some folks to talk about it.
Yeah, that would be great.
Let's do that. I know I don't want to, you know, we've got about 3 more minutes left, but let's spend some time about your experience being the weekend beat reporter for the Chico Enterprise Record.
She's everywhere, I'll
say that.
She's
everywhere. I see her everywhere,
dude. She's
too.
Everywhere.
It's kind of crazy being the only one on the weekends, honestly. I remember the first day I came in and they literally tossed me the story about Butte College and their sexual assault Title IX violations and how they came to a resolution. And I was like, on the first day, all right, I got this.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a completely different experience because I've never been in a newsroom where I have to produce four stories a day sometimes. And yeah. So you listen to the scanner and you just have to be everywhere.
I thought it was kind of a beautiful little backstory. I saw you at that the pop-up for Desmond, and I said hi, you know, and it was like I was taking a picture. And Bianca, just that's how you are. I can see your way. You're like, oh, let me move this out of the picture frame for you. And you were helping me take my picture, Dave. I mean, that's the kind of person we got
nice
here.
Nice person.
Huh? Yeah, very, very nice person. Yeah. So we got a couple more minutes, Dave. You got any more comments about Chico Soul and this wonderful... I'm not even going to say aspiring. You're doing it. You're out there. You know?
Yeah, I mean, Bianca's doing great work. And that's the thing that's impressed me is, and when you're the weekend reporter, you know, I'm not at the ER, of course, but I was a city editor up in Reading. And you usually there's one person on the weekend. So if there's a festival or more, one or more festivals, you go cover that. You're on the, with the, you know, the cop shop, you have to cover that. And, you know, like she said, some big story may come down the pike, too. So you may have forced, you know, I think Andre, one of her colleagues, had four bylines on the on the front page not too long ago. So it's kind of, you know, it's a real trying job. But when you're all alone and... you don't have a lot of experience, you know, it's you're going to get a lot of experience in a hurry.
Yeah.
You sure are. I'm going to say one thing, I'm not going to say in defense of reporters, but I just said it. You know, I think if you have something to say about an article, man, talk to the reporter. I've done that at least a dozen times. I think you get so much more out of it yourself and the reporter personally instead of posting these crazy Facebook posts, you know, calling people names and, you know, because there's people are just doing their work. And I've heard people really, really rip into the ER and I go, hey, wait a minute. I know people there and they're doing good journalism and they're good people. What would you say around that, Bianca, to close this up?
You know, yeah, just come to us. We're always open. You know, we are reporting for you is the big thing. We're reporting for the community, and we're not doing our job if we're not serving the community that we're writing for.
Yeah, exactly. 10 seconds, Dave. Got anything going out?
No, I'm speechless at this point.
This is Dave's first time live.
It is.
And
it's a lot harder.
I like it. It's funner. It's more spontaneous. But thanks for both of you coming in. We're going to lead you on out here, but tune in next week coming up. Next Chico Vibe, Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. All right, that's about it. We're going to leave you. Chico Vibe's going to leave you with an interview from three of the cast members from Spamalot, which opens tonight, Chico Theater Company. But it's my distinct pleasure to do this show each and every week, man. If you like what you hear, I know you do. Go to kzfire.org, look to the left elevator bar, hit the tip jar, and support People Powered Radio. Also, look us up. We're on Facebook, The Chico Vibe. And above all, have a great weekend and keep the vibe alive.
My game of match for the September 29th, that Chico Vibe. And I'm back with the folks that led the top of the show. I have the cast members of Spamalot. Chris Harrington. This is my first read, okay?
You know, it's a scan.
It's a scan. Chris Harrington, Lady of the Lake, Nick Fawcett, Sir Bedivere, and Matt Taylor, King Arthur. Welcome to KZFR, guys.
Hello.
And great to be back here.
Yes.
All right. What's this play all about? Can Process Meet? Tell us what it's about.
This is the King Arthur legend right here. We've got the sword Excalibur. We've got the Lady of the Lake who presents it to the king because, you know, that's what it's really about. Mm-hmm. And yes. We've got the Knights of the Round Table, the calling of the knights and bringing them all together and the unifying of this team as they go on their quest for the Holy Grail.
I think it's so cute. Lady of the Lake talks with her hands.
Nice. It's very important in radio, isn't it? You just gotta.
I love it. I love it.
How would people understand what I was saying if I wasn't waving my hands?
Theatrical people can't help it. Yes. I mean, the point of the show is for King Arthur to round up some knights, find and seek the Holy Grail, and then go home. And then sing some songs.
What is Sir Bedivere coming?
For Bedivere, it's really more about king and country. He's a king man. He's an idea man. He's sort of the most important knight when it comes to ideas. But I just really enjoy the prancing around and the coconuts.
Oh, absolutely. Bedivere is my right-hand man.
There are some really nice coconuts in this show. It's true.
Actual coconuts, yes.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Who is your left-hand man?
Left-hand man, that would have to be my dear friend and confidant, Patsy. Follows me around everywhere I go, carries some coconuts, does things for me.
The great John Davis.
Correct.
Shout out to John.
Then obviously Lady of the Lake is front and center at the altar, or at the throne. Throne.
You know, we don't actually hit a throne at any point that I can think of. There might be an altar or two
in there.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's a big reveal at the end about who the Lady of the Lake actually is.
It's yes. true, because everybody has a name.
It's shocking.
She's not just the Lady of the Lake. There's a
no,
name to her.
No, you can't just call me Lady.
All right, before these three fine actors and actresses do some readings, I want to let everybody know, man, Spamalot opens tonight. September 29th runs through the 22nd. Play is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. And as you can already tell, this is from the classic film comedy Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Spamalot is a musical telling of the legend of King Arthur and his Knights of the Round Table in the search of the Holy Grail. All right, guys, let's do some readings, man. What do you got?
Great.
Wonderful. Bedivere, what do we do now?
Well, sire, I believe it may be time for Plan B, my secret weapon.
Right. If you do not cease to taunt us, we shall be forced to use our secret weapon. I have a nasty shock coming to them.
What do you think, sire?
What the hell is that?
It's the great wooden rabbit, sire. The very latest in modern technology.
How does it work?
We just leave it here and walk away.
Lady of the Lake, you look amazing.
Thank you.
Wait, I can't just call you Lady. Do you have a name?
Oh, Arthur. Everyone has a name.
And what is yours?
I'm not telling you on the radio.
Oh, yeah, so that's the big reveal.
No spoilers.
You're going to have to come tonight and check it out. We're going to be ready.
Or tomorrow.
Or tomorrow.
Or Sunday. Or next week, even.
Yeah, anytime, right. Really.
Feel free.
Rabbits are a major part of this play. Rabbits and Spam and Ham.
Yes.
And jam.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure why there's jam.
Right.
But there is. There
it doesn't.
Jam.
It doesn't follow the King Arthur legend cleanly. There's a couple of knights that aren't mentioned in the legend. For instance, Sir Robin is a prominent
it's
character.
True. Right. Well, and Sir not appearing in this show.
Correct.
There is always him.
A famous historical figure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, for some of our listeners, they may not have ever heard of Monty Python. Why don't we talk just a little bit about where this play originated?
Man, it comes from the minds of...
Such a boy conversation.
Yeah.
I feel like it was mostly John Cleese and Terry Jones was a director of it.
Oh, yes. It came from their deranged minds.
Terry Jones and Terry Gilliam?
I mean, everybody's familiar with the classic Monty Python, talking about swallows, talking about old women and talking about
coconuts
and talking about black knights and all of those things are front and center in the show, talking about spam a lot.
A lot.
A lot of spam.
A lot of English accents. A lot of high-pitched English accents.
Funny story, for Monty Python and the Holy Grail, it was actually funded in large part by the famous Led Zeppelin. Yeah, they couldn't get the money, so they started to...
Nice.
Yeah, excellent. I hope you guys play some of that today.
Get your chance to be like Led Zeppelin. September 29th or October 22nd. Come on out and support Monty Python's Spamalot by the Chico Theater Company. Of the gold, we'll drive our ships.